Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Two men were out walking through the woods and came across a well. Looking inside, one said, "Wow, that looks deep." The other nodded and said, "Sure does. Toss a few pebbles in there and see how deep it is." They picked up a few pebbles and threw them in. They waited to hear a noise, but there was nothing. So they decided to throw some larger rocks down to see how deep it was. They tossed them in, but again, nothing. There was no noise. They looked at each other in bewilderment, and one got a determined look on his face and said, "Hey, there's a railroad tie. Help me carry it over here. When we toss it in, it has to make some noise." The two dragged the heavy railroad tie over to the well and heaved it in. Not a sound came from the hole. Suddenly, out of the nearby woods, a goat appeared, running like the wind. It rushed toward the two men, then right past them, running as fast as its legs would carry it. Then it leaped in the air and down into the well. The two men were astonished with what they'd just seen. A farmer then came sauntering out of the woods. He saw the men and came over. The farmer asked them, "Hey, you two guys seen my goat out here?" And the men replied, "We sure did. Craziest thing we've ever seen. It came running like crazy and just jumped into this here well." And the farmer replied, "Oh no, that couldn't have been my goat. My goat was chained to a railroad tie." There are many things that are going to go wrong in the future tribulation. Many disasters and tragedies. In this episode, we'll be looking at time future and the sequence of end times events. Revelation 6 verse 1 reads, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" According to Daniel chapter 9, 1 week or 7 years are left and assigned to Israel on God's prophetic calendar prior to the millennial kingdom on earth. This should have happened long ago, but God interrupted his program with Israel and temporarily set Israel aside. God then turned to the Gentiles, the nations, ushered in a dispensation and an age that he had kept secret since the world began. Today, in time present, under grace, God is building a church called the Body of Christ, giving anyone who trusts Christ as their Savior a heavenly hope. This age closes when the church is removed from the earth at the rapture. God will then resume his dealings with Israel and complete the prophetic calendar, and it begins with the 7 years remaining in Daniel's prophecy. This time in Scripture is called the time of Jacob's, or Israel's, trouble. These 7 years begin with the signing of a covenant, an agreement between the Antichrist and the nation Israel. And the 7 years end with Christ's return to the earth at his second coming to destroy the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon. The tribulation has three main parts. The first 3.5 years are called the beginning of sorrows. The last 3.5 years are called the Great Tribulation, and the middle is filled with significant events. God is never without a witness. After the rapture, the Word of God will still be here, and the Holy Spirit will be here and be active. And God's two witnesses will suddenly appear in Jerusalem, where they will prophesy for 3.5 years. These two will minister according to the Great Commission. They will preach the gospel of the kingdom. They will perform signs, miracles, and wonders, which will authenticate their message and ministry. The witnesses will bear witness to Christ that he is the true Messiah, the Son of the living God. And they will preach that people must repent and be water baptized to be saved. The ministry of these two witnesses will result in the conversion of the 144,000 in Israel, 12,000 men from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. These will in turn be Jewish missionaries who will evangelize for Christ and will carry the kingdom gospel to the ends of the earth. But even so, many will be saved, according to Revelation chapter 7. However, those who are saved in that chapter have also died during the tribulation. Describing the beginning of the tribulation, the Lord said, "All these are the beginning of sorrows." Beginning of sorrows refers to the beginning of labor pains. As labor pains increase in pain and intensity, so the tribulation gets increasingly worse as you go. There are three primary sets of judgments that await the world in the tribulation. Seven seals, out of which flow the seven trumpets, from which come the seven vials. Each subsequent set of judgments will be more severe as the day of the Lord proceeds. In chapter 5 of Revelation, Christ the Lamb was the only one found worthy to open the book that was sealed with seven seals. That book contains all the judgments of the coming tribulation. As the Lamb breaks the seven seals that secure the scroll, each seal reveals a new demonstration of God's judgment on the earth in the future tribulation. The first seal that is broken results in ominous thunder. As thunder precedes a storm, the thunder here marks the beginning of the approaching storm of the tribulation. The tribulation begins with the four horsemen of the apocalypse on white, red, black, and pale horses. When the first seal is broken, it reveals a white horse and a rider. At Christ's second coming, at the end of the tribulation, he will return on a white horse to conquer. The opening of the first seal reveals how Satan's Antichrist will gallop onto the world scene at the beginning of the tribulation. He is pictured as counterfeiting the true Christ by riding onto the stage of the world on a white horse to conquer. The tribulation begins with a brief period of peace. The Apostle Paul described it as, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child." Thus, when the second seal is broken and a second horse rides, it is a red horse, the color of blood. The second seal results in wars, bloodshed, slaughter, worldwide conflict, and peace being removed from the earth. As the Lord said in his Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, "There will be wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." Seal 3 is broken and a black horse rides onto the scene. The rider of the black horse holds a pair of balances, a symbol of commerce and trade. This portrays the scarcity of food and it being carefully measured due to famine. And the scarcity of food will result in global hunger. Seal 4 is broken and a pale horse rides. Pale is the color of death. And death rides on this horse with hell or Hades following behind him. The pale horse shows the tremendous cumulative death toll from the dictatorship, war, famine, and starvation described by the previous three horsemen, as well as the many deaths due to the pestilences and wild beasts that come with his arrival. A fourth part of the earth will die at this time, and in light of the current population of nearly 8 billion people, this means that close to 2 billion people will die in the early part of the tribulation. Seal 5 is broken and reveals that many believers who trust the gospel of the kingdom in the tribulation will also die for their faith in Christ. The Lord said in Matthew 24:9 of this time, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Seal 6 is broken and reveals natural disasters, including a great earthquake that moves mountains and islands out of place. This is also accompanied by celestial upheaval as the sun will become black and the moon will turn red and stars will fall to the earth. Revelation 8 verses 1 and 2 read, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." As the seventh seal is opened, there is an eerie silence of anticipation at the judgment that God is about to unleash on the world. The first trumpet sounds and results in a horrifying storm made up of a mixture of hail and fire, like in the days of Moses, which decimates forests and causes one-third of the earth's trees and all green grass to be burned. The second trumpet results in a great mountain burning with fire, which sounds like an asteroid, being cast into the sea. This causes one-third of the sea to be turned into blood, like in the days of Moses. The third trumpet results in a great star from heaven falling upon, contaminating and rendering fatal one-third of the fresh water in rivers and springs. The fourth trumpet results in God removing one-third of the light from the sun, moon, and stars, reducing the brightness of these celestial bodies during both day and night. The last three trumpets introduce three great woes of judgment, one woe for each remaining trumpet blast. While the first four trumpets will be horrendous, the last three will be even worse. The fifth trumpet, the first woe, is a plague of monstrous locusts that mercilessly torture but do not kill mankind for 5 months. These demonic creatures will sting people and inflict the same kind of agonizing pain that comes from a scorpion sting. The torment will be so great that people will desire death as a relief and they will try to kill themselves, but God will not allow it. Attempts to end one's life in misery and suicide at this time will be unsuccessful. Trumpet 5 is sounded and results in hurt and torture. The sixth trumpet is sounded and it results in death. The sixth trumpet, the second woe, is a plague of demonic horsemen riding monstrous horses, 200 million strong. For 13 months, these horsemen will kill and ultimately slay one-third of the world's population by fire, smoke, and brimstone. In 2024, the world population is approximately 8 billion. Under the fourth seal, one-fourth of the world's population, or 2 billion people, will die, which leaves 6 billion. During the sixth trumpet, one-third of the world's remaining population of 6 billion people, or 2 billion people, will die, leaving 4 billion. By the mid part of the tribulation, one half of the world's population is dead. This brings us to the midpoint of the tribulation, and at this point, a number of significant events take place. And first is the Antichrist will be assassinated, and by God's permission, he will rise from the dead. After he does, the two witnesses in Jerusalem will be killed by the Antichrist. But God will raise them again after 3.5 days and take them to heaven. There will be war in heaven at this time as Michael and his angels will fight Satan and his demons. And Satan and his demons will be cast down out of the heavens to the earth for the remainder of the tribulation. The abomination of desolation takes place at this time. Following the assassination and resurrection of the Antichrist, the Antichrist will boldly go into the temple, enter the Holy of Holies, sit on the mercy seat, and declare that he is Messiah and God. Then the false prophet will decree that an image should be created and fashioned to the beast's supposed glory, and this idol will stand in the holy place in the temple. Setting up an idol is bad. Setting up an idol in the temple is the pinnacle of blasphemy. It is an abomination to God, and it results in desolation or desecrating the temple. So it is the abomination of desolation. A worldwide decree is then made and given that all must worship this image, this idol, or be killed. It is also at this time that the visible mark or image of the beast, that idol, or the name of the beast, whatever the Antichrist name will be, or the number of his name, 666, that is when it's required on people's right hand or foreheads to be able to buy and sell. Those loyal to Antichrist and their cult worship of him will gladly take that mark. Revelation 11:14-15 read, "The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Short interval and delay of the significant events of the middle part of the tribulation. The seventh trumpet, which is the third woe, is the trumpet which sounds for the beginning of the seven last plagues. Thus, the third woe entails all the dreadful bowl judgments that will be poured out during the Great Tribulation. They will be the most severe judgment this world has ever seen, and in them is filled up the wrath of God, Revelation 15:1 says. The Lord said that if the disasters and judgments of this time were to continue, no flesh would be saved, or no one would survive. Everyone would die. The first bowl is poured out on the earth, afflicting all those who took the mark of the beast with incurable, painful, open skin sores. The second bowl is poured out into the oceans of the world. All the water in the world's oceans will turn to blood, turning thick, dark, coagulated, putrid, and rotting as the blood of a dead man. This results in the death of all marine life. The third bowl is poured out on all the rivers and fountains of water, and all freshwater sources will turn to blood, leaving no pure water for drinking. The fourth bowl is poured out on the sun, causing the sun's heat to be intensified, and people all over the world will be scorched, seared, and burned with great heat. And the world will face this extreme heat with no fresh water to drink, and thus there will be worldwide thirst. The fifth bowl is poured out on the throne of the Antichrist and his kingdom. The Antichrist's throne and his kingdom will be a worldwide kingdom, so the world will be struck with intense, thick darkness. These things all remind us of the suffering of hell. Hell will be a place of intense, continual torment, where they will thirst, where they will be scorched with heat, and it will be a place of utter and total darkness. The tribulation will literally be hell on the earth. The sixth bowl is poured out on the river Euphrates to dry it up. This is done in preparation for the Battle of Armageddon. It allows the kings of the east ease of passage to come to invade Israel. God is drawing them in here for this battle to destroy them. The seventh bowl is poured out into the air. The completion of God's wrath and the sealed trumpet and bowl judgments is punctuated by the most powerful earthquake in the history of the world. The cities of the world will be flattened by it. The earthquake will alter the earth's topography. It will level every single mountain, and every single island in the world will disappear. And God will also personally deal with the capital city of the Antichrist Empire, which is Babylon, at this time. And Babylon will receive a special outpouring of God's fierce wrath and be destroyed. And then great hail, 75 to 100 pound hailstones will fall on this world, causing unimaginable devastation and death. And then the Antichrist, with the kings of the earth and their armies, they will come up and overrun Israel. They will come up to gather to make war against Jesus Christ. And the heavens will open, and Christ will return at his second coming on a white horse, coming to judge and make war, and he will destroy this large confederation with the sharp sword that goes out of his mouth, that is, with the power of his word. And the beast and the false prophet will be cast alive into the lake of fire. Daniel 12, 11 to 12 read, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. In this prophecy, Daniel was told that from the taking away of the daily sacrifice by the Antichrist and the abomination of desolation, or the idol that is set up in the temple, at the middle point of the tribulation, there would be 1,290 days. Now, according to the prophetic timetable in Revelation 12:6, the last 3.5 years are 1,260 days. So Daniel's prophecy adds an additional 30 days. Then in verse 12, the angel tells Daniel that it would be 1,335 days from the middle of the tribulation, 75 days more than the 1,260, meaning that there would be an additional 45 days on top of the 30 days. In this passage, Israel is given an exact day for the establishment of the Messiah's earthly kingdom. What this means is that a grand total of 75 days after the Battle of Armageddon, the kingdom will be established on the earth. And a number of prophetic events take place during those 75 days. One event is the binding and confining of Satan and his demons in the center of the earth for 1,000 years. All those in rebellion against the King of Israel will be removed before he sets up his worldwide kingdom, including the foremost rebel, the devil and his angels. Christ will reign for 1,000 years without any opposition from these supernatural enemies. The first resurrection of prophecy will also take place at this time, as the Lord will raise all the prophetic believers who died prior to the dispensation of grace, and all those who died after the rapture of the church during the tribulation. The regathering of Israel will take place during the 75 days as well. Israelites will be scattered all over the world during the tribulation, and those who survive that time will be brought back to the promised land for the kingdom. The judgment of Israel will take place prior to the kingdom. The government will be organized, and the saints will be rewarded and given positions of authority in his kingdom. This, along with the judgment of the nations, or the judgment of the sheep and the goats, will also take place in these 75 days. These nations will be judged for how they treated Israel during the tribulation. If they helped Israel, they will be permitted entrance into the kingdom. If they refused to help Israel, it will be cast into everlasting fire. And then the kingdom will be established. and Christ will rule and reign as king over all the earth in peace and righteousness for 1,000 years. Those who survive the tribulation will be permitted entrance into the kingdom in their natural bodies. These survivors will have children in the kingdom, and their children will have children, and so on for 1,000 years. All these people born during the kingdom will have to believe the gospel of the kingdom, trusting that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. But many will not believe in the King, rejecting Him even though they live in a perfect environment of peace and abundance provided by Him. And at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed from the bottomless pit. He will deceive all these non-believers and will gather them for battle in an attempt to overthrow the King. They will come up to Jerusalem at the Battle of Gog and Magog, and the battle ends quickly as fire will rain down from God out of heaven and devour them all. All unbelievers will be dead at this point. Christ will then raise all the unbelieving for the great white throne judgment. They will be fitted with bodies that are able to endure everlasting torment in the fires of hell. Only those who do not have their names in the Book of Life appear at the Great White Throne. This judgment determines the degree of their punishment, and they will be cast into the lake of fire to be forever separated from God. At this time, the heavens and the earth will be refurbished by fire, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and the eternal state will be ushered in. The New Jerusalem, the great and glorious city of God, will descend from God's heaven to the new earth. Believing Israel will rule and reign in Christ in that city forever and ever and ever. But God has a plan not only for the earth through Israel, He also has a plan for the heavens through us, the body of Christ. And we, the members of the body of Christ, will be in heaven in the eternal state. Our hope and calling is to rule and reign in Christ in the heavenlies forever and ever. We are promised in Ephesians 2 that God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, in those heavenly places, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.